Welcome to Parhesia Hour. I'm your host, Kern Haug. Here we are at Kacha. Sunny Los Angeles, or as the weather individual said, or wasn't even the weather, it was the anchor person said, I'm just gonna say it. June gloom, I'm just gonna say it. If you aren't watching the morning news, you're really missing out on some easy comedy. Like, entertainment doesn't have to be so hard, is what I'm always trying to say. You don't need so much to go into your entertainment. Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm trying to make a parallel between, paying for your enjoyment, paying for your existence, like living an existence where you have to buy your happiness versus one where you can create your happiness. And part of your ability to create your happiness is realizing that it doesn't have to be so resource intensive. Like, it's those at the top, it's the man that is trying to convince you that, oh, it's only the best production value, it's only my visual effects, it's only through my HD, etc., that you can derive, satisfaction adequate to the present, to the present consciousness. And the right, to an extent, like the right to the extent that, like, yeah, they're defining what is the present consciousness, what is like the level, the threshold. If you're, a drug addict, your tolerance is going up and up and up, and you keep, needing more to get the same fleeting high you once had, kind of thing. And it's just about maintaining the baseline, etc. So, that's happening in society. And I guess I'm saying, like, it doesn't have to. Like, why give those people power? You can make your own fun. You can make your own thing, and it doesn't take a lot. Like, the morning news is a relatively low production thing. Although 20 years ago it was even lower, and it was even more popular. Go figure. You know what I'm talking about? Look at the 1999 Academy Awards. I think it's 99. Yeah. Where maybe it was, okay, between 97, 98, and 99, where Billy Crystal hosted and Titanic won everything. That is not, look at it. The production value pales in comparison to this. It would be like a Tim and Eric sketch kind of thing, like a parody of what bad production would be. So much money and so many eyes were on it, and it was okay. Like, we had a great time watching this dude do these bits or whatever. I guess we did. Maybe I didn't. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be so much. So I just think it's the morning news is a nice reminder to me of that. It doesn't. Not everything has to be so big. And when it is big, it doesn't take a lot to get there. Big could be a trio of musicians putting everything into it. And then it's totally overwhelming, but it's still accessible. I guess that's what I like. I really like things that anyone could do. Punk rock, man. But I also like this, and like, I cannot play that flute part. But it also doesn't sound... I don't know. I can play it on my mouth. Like it's a feeling. It's really wonderful, actually. So, I'm not trying to make any ultimatums. I just want to spread apart the fog a little to put some focus on whatever this is. See what I'm saying? That's all I'm ever here for. I'm not here to say, listen to me, I've got it all. I figured it out. You need to pay attention and take notes, kind of thing. I'm just here to say, like, hey, if you feel strongly about something, you should talk about it. You shouldn't let other people's way of talking about it dictate how you feel about what you feel. I'm not saying don't listen. I'm saying especially listen. And I'm saying everyone, in the way that everyone's asking you to listen to them, they should be listening to you. How about that? Actually, I'm going to write that down. Because I think that's a perhaps easily applicable idea in the way everyone's asking you to listen to them. Because that's all I want. I just want everyone to feel like, you know, they've got a voice, like they're heard, like it's okay for them to have a voice, like they don't have to feel nervous for expressing their voice. Because I think when you have a society, you know, if you're looking at the billions eventually, you're looking at any large grouping that has to get along cooperatively. People are sitting there afraid to have a voice, then you're gonna have some problems. Problems are gonna start, you know? That's just a recipe for disaster. Look at study after study. Do your own research. I've done mine. Come on. Don't make me question myself. So anyway, there's some things going on. I was excited to play this tape. I got this tape in the mail. Local sax ripper Patrick Shirawishi is the first credit on it. Borassus on Astral Spirits, who does real cool free music stuff. And they're based in Austin, Texas. Great cover art. Seems to have one artist for everything, which gives a nice sense of unity to the label. I got it, and then my tape player that I've had for, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, just stopped working all of a sudden. I was playing a tape, and it just wouldn't play anymore. Won't rewind. It's just, like, the motor inside just gave up. So, that's a bummer. That is a definite bummer. Because it turns out it's pretty hard to find them these days. I've been to a couple secondhand stores where you'd normally find it. Haven't found any there. Plus, oh, you know what I did find? On Craigslist, I found the exact same tape player for sale for $30. So I'm like, okay, well, I got this for $25. This must be another working one. And then it turns out they're like, oh no, it turns on, but it won't play or rewind. This is for parts. Fucking $30 for parts. Fuck yourself. You know, I mean, whatever, actually, that's just jealousy speaking. I was like, damn, should I be doing that? But also, still, I don't know, anyway, doesn't matter. I don't stand by that too strong. I'm not getting to anything, any of my notes. I'm just feeling comfortable, with you this morning, dear listener. I went to a comedy show last night. Comedy show last night. This is a comedy show I used to go to quite a bit, and then I finally just won again. I took a couple notes. So off, sometimes I go and I'm like very before the sun. I'm very like taken by it. But this time, I don't know. It was good. I always like seeing different, relatively unrelated performers back to back. Seeing how they handle it. Who came prepared with what? It's pretty like low pressure, relatively low pressure gig for a lot of folks. Yeah. Anyway. There was one that was interesting. It was about babies. This comedian was talking about babies and, she was talking about pro-life, pro-choice. And saying, man, some of these arguments for pro-life or arguments are really dumb. You know, it's like, it's not about a woman's right to choose. It's about a baby's right to choose. And she's like, that's so dumb. But I don't, and she says, I don't know if you've checked in with babies, but they are always trying to die. small object, I'll put that in my mouth. You know, this. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty funny. But it brought, oh wait, he, I can't remember which comedian said it. But, it was, yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting, or it, like, went an interesting place. Like, the idea of, like, deciding of, like, what is the will of a thing that is a baby? That is, like, a thing that has no experience, has not figured out how to care for itself, is, like, very literally immature. What is the immature, unwise extreme? If you're looking at a spectrum of extremes and a baby is on one of them, what's going on there? And it's trying to kill itself. Like, its actions are nearing its end. If left to its own devices, the immature, unwise entity is trying to destroy itself. And it seemed significant, to see, if you're looking at preserving life, maturation and wisdom would be good ideals. I like them. I think there's a lot to it. If you're defining maturity as adherence to a system, indoctrination, then no, I don't agree. But that's not how I'm defining maturity. Just like looking at things over time, you know, having time to look over things and kind of then deciding how you feel about a thing versus having an initial thought and reaction. And then spending all your time trying to preserve the good feeling of, like, having thought of something for the first time. Does that make sense? Like, to be like, first idea, best idea, I must push my first idea through. Versus, like, you know, the wisdom of, just, like, having put that idea past a million things and through a million things and run tests and, like, looked at it and, you know, realizing your ideas are all really just hypotheses. Not instant solutions. Like, insights are more hypotheses than answers and solutions. I'm really, as you may know, if you're a long time listener to the show, I'm very skeptical of answers. I think answers are sugar. They're just empty calories. Answers will not do anything to give you the brief high of feeling like you know and you have an answer. And why do I not like answers? Well, because answers are the end of thinking. You don't need to think anymore if you have the answer. You can just refer to the answer. Just, that's how religion works. That's how the law works. Oh, look, that's the answer. I don't need to think anymore. Which actually brings me back to, or brings me not even back, but for the first time, to kind of the beginning of this radio episode, which is that I was focusing on not knowing. I was like, what's going on with not knowing? I really want to figure out, like, what this value is. And I think the other month I pretty thoroughly explored that. I'm pretty convinced of what's the value there. But then I sort of took that and just started feeling like, okay, well, I'm all about not knowing, so might as well just show up not knowing things and see what's going on. And I forgot that not knowing comes from learning. Like, a comfort with not knowing comes from continuous learning. Because when you're continually learning, it starts to dawn on you how infinitely you could continue to learn.
There's change in the air. Do you not hear the heavy silence there?
Exactly. There will always be change in the air. And where there's a heavy silence, that means there's more that you don't know. It's silent to you because you don't know it yet. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's through learning that you become aware of not knowing, and that's where the comfort with it comes, you know? Or rather, through continued learning. Through initial learning, you may be overwhelmed by not all that you don't know. But then when you continue to learn, you realize the idea of learning at all is impossible. It's an irrational, problematic objective to know it all. And through continually learning, you realize, like, look, I'm not going to know everything. Because you see that. It becomes clear. But the learning is what keeps that perspective fresh, you know? So, does that make sense? I realize, well, let me give some more concrete thing to think about. Put these stuff, like art objects, just lay your thoughts. You know? How do you put your thoughts on this? For me, it was almost like ceasing to prepare. I used to spend my Tuesday evenings doing research and taking notes and watching videos. It was all about facing these things I don't know, like trying to grapple with them, and like integrate them into like, okay, how can I do something with all this stuff? And then I was kind of being like, I don't know, it's just like, see what happens. That's fun, you get some places there, but then it starts to become a little pointless. Like, turning not knowing into like, well, then why know anything, you know? And I don't think that's good, because I think it's good to know some things, or like, it's fun to know some things. I like it. Like, to try to get in there, and then not knowing is like a lot of fear in your attempt to. Does that make sense? To not imagine yourself in front of a critical audience that will, like, chastise you for not knowing. And I hope I don't do that to anyone. Truly. I mean, you know, I'd be pretty embarrassed and ashamed to be a person who made someone feel bad for not knowing things. I feel like I have done that at times. Certainly ashamed for those moments. Had a little too much pride in my own thing. So, I don't know, maybe this is an okay place to... So the thing is, had I brought my laptop, I could just stream this album on it, but I didn't. Had I a working auxiliary connector, to my phone, I could stream it from my phone. I could, the thing is, what I could do... Ugh, this is so stupid. Let me see how it sounds, because I just would rather play it than not play it. That's still spirits, glasses.
The people and the leaders walk hand in hand. The people and the leaders hand in hand. They're on the right road. They're going the wrong direction.
Microphone? Motherfucker. So many fucking cables everywhere. Why are they, what are they even doing? Let's get this shit off.
They were on the right road all the time. They're going the wrong direction. Now, there is no time.
Why does this clip?
That is why they have to turn and walk the opposite way. They must go to the place of change.
I was trying to be funny there. I was trying
they
to be like
go to the place of space for the celebration.
I don't know
if
it's anyone else but me, but hey, you know, that's my life. Ooh, well, this actually, to me, this sounds cool. Because I'm in the room, but yeah, this is great. I'm just miking my cell phone, so I hope this keeps playing, and we'll listen to it mic'd through my Google Pixel 2 speakers. We'll see how that goes. Thank you. kind of working, right? But so many other things are not, folks. So many other things in the world are not working. And I mean just in this situation. Right now, this morning, it turns out it looks like I didn't grab the right set of notes. I have last week's notes. So my ideas are written down there. And then the other ones I wrote down are on my phone, which is now playing this music for you. So yeah, I'm kind of just, I just got the one note that I wrote down earlier on the last week's set of notes before I had put it together that they were last week's set of notes. It's that in the way everyone's asking you to listen to them, they should be listening to you, you know? People ought not be asking for things they aren't giving themselves, right? I mean, that seems like a uncontroversial stance to take. Double sax, double drums. Right? Not all the time at every moment, but... And so that principle that I just described... I think if we're trying to listen to the music, to learn from the music, and how is this kind of music, I suspect is a particularly good demonstration of these ideals, these dynamics. Let's call them dynamics, not ideals. They're just dynamics. It doesn't need to be lofty as an ideal. It's just like this is a way that things work. In that way... I don't know what the composition is here. How much is improvised? How much is... It sounds like they're playing the same melody-ish. Oh, that just gave me an idea. Just thinking about harmonic thinkers. But in the way everyone's asking to listen to them, they need to be listening to you. So it can never be a... Well, yeah, this is why. This is music that demonstrates a non-domination. There's not a single root thing that everything is in service of. It's not like, oh, this is the melody, and you are in service of this. It's like, hey, you listen to me, and I'll listen to you. And this is only going to go well if we're both listening to each other equally. Like, we're equally valuing each other's... inputs. Sounds like it's time to take down my record soundbox wall. I figured, how do I somewhat isolate this phone? And I was like, oh, I've got records all around me. Ooh, hey, it's actually autoplay. Oh, I didn't even need to do shit. Can I close the phone and it still plays? Yeah. I think I'm quoting all the same comedian. I'm blanking on her name. Oh no, never mind, I remember it. Wetterland. I was talking about being an escrow, and she's like, yeah, we all know what escrow is, right? Yeah, you know, kind of really digging into this like long discomfort of not knowing what it is, trying to figure out how the audience felt about the word. Do they know what it is? Is this a crowd that has been in escrow? Like, probably not. I do notice this as a trend. Most of the comedians that go up there are like, you know, quote unquote, like professional. They are like they're like making a living, at least a disappearing middle class living, doing their thing. And they most of them are in like they're in partnerships, you know. Buying houses, you know, having kids. I'm pretty sure that's the case. So what's going on there? What's professionalism? How's that? How's that work? You know? In escrow, being in escrow. And then she says she called, asked the realtor to be like, hey, so what's in escrow about? And then the realtor said, it's like contingency. And then she pauses, the joke being that that doesn't help. Because putting it that way, it doesn't help. But also, I feel like a lot of people, that would be a great clue. And that's like the joke. She's like, the joke itself is contingent upon the vocabulary of the listeners. Like, how am I accurately gauging popular vocabulary words? Like, are these words that people know? Are they words that people find, like, uncomfortable? Is this relatable? Is this relatable content? Like, that kind of thing. So that was kind of fun. Just some watching people assess language stuff. And then there was one guy who wasn't doing great. He came unprepared. And was kind of, like, hoping stuff would just come out. And then there was one thing that apparently he made up, just a kind of like a dumb little joke about, like, old ladies. Maybe it was an old lady impression. I don't know. And it got some laughs. And he's like, see? Or sometimes you don't prepare anything. Or there's that thing that you just make up right now, and it gets 10 laughs. And it always trips me out when comedians make observations about what they're observing, because you don't see it. I'm like, oh, man, if they're good, you don't see them looking for this. So it's kind of a trip to be like, whoa, they were just, while they're talking, they're just, like, scanning the room and, like, counting the laughs. Like, a really, like, obsessive, like, oh, man, this happened. I don't know. Kind of a, I say obsessive, but I guess I mean it. Like, really pretty intense relationship with feedback. Like, a really, I guess that's what I like about watching it. Just this really, like, you're like, whoa, this person's, like, if you imagine it, it's like a social, ooh, this is sick. This intense feedback relationship that I kind of find pretty fascinating to watch. And that's the thing, but like with music, it's much more, that is there. Like, this kind of music's less about, because the comedians have a prepared thing, and I don't know, sort of asking the audience to listen to it more than it listening to the audience. I gotta think about that. Oh, actually, okay. It's listening for the silence, which obviously I'm interrupting. So comedians listening for the loudness of the response. They're like, okay, I gotta get loud responses, laughs. And this music is listening for silence. Like, oh, do I have them? Do I have them wrapped? So silence is the, like, kind of the confirmation that they're there with you. Sphere. doesn't listening to this just make you want this to be how the world feels all the time? You know? Like, what if the world just... this is how you walked around. Like, this was just everywhere. I just think things would be so much more relaxed. But, like, also, like, rich and deep. Not saying this moment necessarily, but... it's just such a good... Oh, yeah. Hey, what's up? You know, usually I'd be, like, looking at my notes or something, but I'm not doing that. I'm just kind of enjoying this world. Can't even remember what kind of topic of today's show was. Something about, learning. Yeah, and also I was using the phrase undue authority, which I like it better than the illegitimate authority as like a definition of anarchy. A belief in the like constant questioning of undue authority. You know, just like, hey, where do you get your authority from? That kind of thing. Not just allowing a power to be because it says it is. And it's like, hey, I can be my own authority. Of course, the problem with that is look where people take that. That is actually a really good point. I mean, just that people make that, you know, it's like, well, because it is true. Like, to me, anarchist ideals could not be more accurately described as ideals. Like, we do not, the current world, no, we could not do it. Things need to change. They're contingent upon other conditions. You know, I'm not saying it can't be enacted and it doesn't exist, you know, in small expressions, but just the world we live in now, you know, if, like, what people do is they just freak out in face of these things. But, so I guess you could say, actually, maybe, you could say it's they freak out in face of these things, but if not facing these things, it's like, oh, this becomes a responsibility. Like, there's the react and then the build, you know. You can be the reactionary, or you can be the person working towards, like, okay, well, how does this work? Different ways to do stuff. Oh, yeah. So there's this exhibit I've seen posters around, and other K-Chung program, Jazz as Fuck, was talking about it. I should actually just tune in. I gotta listen back, covering this David Hammond's exhibit that is, like, in tribute to Ornette Coleman, Harmelotic Thinker. And I'm like, okay, well, of course I gotta go. I love Ornette Coleman, and I wanted to learn more about his Harmelotic Thinking. But then it's not, I don't really, I'm very curious. I'm skeptical. At first I was excited, and then I became skeptical when I realized it wasn't Ornette Coleman's art. Someone making art about Ornette Coleman, but here I am on Parisia Hour. It's largely about Sun Ra. Maybe this is really, I'm intrigued and I'm irritated, because what am I going to think when I have a thing that I feel a relation to, one removed, you know? You gotta put some things up. Face critique a thing as though you're critiquing yourself, etc. I don't know what I'm talking about. Or, no, I kind of do, but it doesn't matter. It's more what I mean. Oh, yeah. Just imagine this not playing through a microphone, picking up cell phone speakers, smartphone speakers. Yeah, so, Harmelotic Thinker, David Hammond's. What's going on? I really like this recording a whole lot. The way it's organized, the alternations in these, like, double leads is, I don't know. It just feels like it makes sense. I like things that, like, you can't quite put your finger on it, but you know it has its fingers, like, on it, you know? It knows what it's doing. I don't need to know what it's doing to understand that it knows what it's doing. Oh, I should probably write that down, too.
what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's a freeing thing. I'm all about trying to find, like, really simple, applicable ways of freeing yourself, you know? You know, because you can make big plans, you can commit to, like, diets and workout routines, you know? Like, this is part of life, this is mostly what's being sold to you, because there's, like, a model of, like, success and failure. Like, this is the answer. If it doesn't work for you, you fail, because this is definitely the answer. You know? And, like, that's a kind of shitty dynamic. So, it's like, what if you stop thinking like that? Ooh, sorry, I just... And it's more of, you know, what can I fit in to, like, what can I fit into, like, how I'm doing stuff? And it's, like, a little bit. So, for example, like, remembering that you don't need to understand in order to know that it knows what it's doing. You don't need to understand a thing in order to know that it knows what it's doing. Maybe I should put in understand a thing. A thing. Oh, well, that's it. That's it for that album. But that's not it for the program. And, you know, what can this, like, little reminder do to help, like, help you in your everyday world? When I say you, I'm assuming that I'm not the only one who experiences the things I experience, right? No one's ever truly. There are too many people. The mathematical odds and probabilities forbid it. You are not alone. You're not alone. Now that is a different question. Flash coordination of resources. You can't put everything together like that. You know. But what is it? Entropy is the breaking apart of things. Man. You know. I need to understand it in order to know that knows what's doing. I don't need to understand nature to understand that nature knows what. Do I don't need to understand God in his mysterious ways, his mysterious ways, see and the proof of the miracle of life that God knows what he is doing, that fucking narrative, you know, like, re-articulate stupid shit like that, he knows what he's doing, he works in mysterious ways, you know, like, that's a thing people are convinced by. People hear that logic, and but what I'm saying is, like, it's been misused to justify the idea of this patriarchal, beard-stroking figure versus realizing that it's the opposite. It's this, Mother Nature is such a better thing, but still too individual. Like Mother being, like, nature is the thing that births all these phenomena, not like, you know, like, it's like the underlying, like, this, it, that birthed life versus birthing death, you know, God birthed death, like, dying, it's worshiping death, according to Sun Ra, and Mother Nature birthed life, you know, and, like, that's a, you know, life works in mysterious ways, because, like, there's so many variables going on, there's so much shit happening, it would be unreasonable to think that you could understand it. And so, just because you don't understand it, you're saying, oh, well, what's with that, what's with that, you know, this is wrong. Like, it's about seeking to understand, seeking affinities, not delineating differences, you know. It's just such a, like, that little, I think that's a little piece of advice, seeking affinities, delineating differences. You know, like, that's through your movements every day. You know, that's like going on a walk every day, instead of the one big run that hurts you. You know, like, this is pie. This is the pie. I got a pie. the point. The discursive path is the only one. Oh yeah, that was what the show was about. Just about learning. Oh yeah, I want to say to you, listeners, that I just want to get back to work. I think I've been a little bit, not feeling like there's anything I can learn. I've really convinced myself that I didn't have anything to learn, just like, what was I learning for, you know? And then I looked back at some old notes, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I was learning for. That was some trippy shit that that book was talking about. I really found it exciting to think in that way. You know? So, that's all. Get it. You don't get the time to do that all the time. Sometimes you're at work, and the thing you really should do when you're at work is just have the most neutral stance and everything. Someone's gonna love something, someone's gonna hate something. And either you gotta really care about your opinion, which I just don't when I'm at work, or I just don't care. So I just started having a neutral opinion. And it was fun. I had a good friend the other day. We were talking about some stuff, and I realized, I was like, I had just come from work. And I was like, oh man, I'm like really in work mode. Trying to have the most moderate, fine take on everything. Anyhow, watched a movie straight after work, and went to the soap opera straight after work. It's weird, works weird minds. But, I'm glad to be here. At party now. What's the meme? What if we kiss? Party shot. Well, space is the place. Thanks for tuning in.
Sun Ra and his band from outer space have entertained you here.